Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is Thursday, January 19th, 2023. It's your post-Impact Wrestling show, post-Hard to Kill. We are almost a week removed, and we had one heck of a show tonight. But before we get there, I am Atrel Pearl. It's good to see all y'all. Hello, chat. Hello, people who were probably watching the Fightful Awards or listening to us after the fact on a Fightful Pods. Who knows? I don't know what you're doing. Regardless, it's good to see you. We hope to keep you. Come and talk about Impact Wrestling with us. I have, as always, my number one, my ride or die, the one I can never say goodbye to. I got Cresta Starr. How you doing, Cresta?
Hi, I'm doing great. A good show tonight. I was going to go out after, but it started to torrential rain. Is it raining by you, Joel?
Probably. It's been raining on and off all day in Toronto, so took my kid out earlier about 10 a.m. and it was raining then, and I was like, I ain't going out for the rest of the day.
I respect that answer. I haven't been out of my house in like a week.
We got enough windows here. We're very lucky in our place that we have a great view of things, and I can see the weather, but man. Okay, apparently the awards are almost over. Good for them. Who cares?
Very emotional, as expected. Well, I didn't win an award. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Joel and Cresta and I snubbed at our own show. Wow.
That, other than Matthew J. Cardona and Chelsea Green, who else from Impact won an award? Tell me in the chat, because I can't be asked to figure that out for myself. Did Speedball win all the awards? Because after tonight, I think he deserves all the awards. I don't care when the voting was for that show. We're just going to go. We're just going to talk about it. We're going to talk about Impact. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about Fightful Select. We're going to do all the fun stuff. And if you want to get in on the conversation, all you got to do is leave a super chat. Any super chat gets question or statement read on the air here at youtube.com/Fightful. That little dollar sign, you can go ahead, hit that, and any amount, we'll talk about it. We'll answer the question. We'll do whatever you want to do because that's what you mean to us. Or if you really like us, you can go ahead and hit us with the Humper Chat over at humperchats.com before Cresta gives the thing. And because there are two shows running at one time again, go ahead and just hit, just put Impact or IMP in your Humper Chat so that I know that I'm not reading an awards chat. So Cresta, how can they do that?
You can head over to humperchats.com. Yes, humperchats.com. Type in your donation amount. Type in your question and comment, but make sure you put Impact or IMP, like Joel just said in the beginning, so we can read your question live here on the Post Impact Show with Joel Pearl and Cresta Starr. We get to keep a little bit more of the donations, and it lets Sean Ross Sapp know that we're doing our job and we're not just talking about nonsense.
Humperchats.com. Those awards weren't cheap, folks. So let's show Sean that we are, in fact, the most money-making show on Fightful today.
Period.
And then I remembered Day After Dynamite was on today, too, so probably not. Anyway.
Listen, dream big, baby.
That's right. Emmy Solko kicks us off with the super chat saying, with all due respect, how can the award show not nominate George Iseman in any category? I agree. George Iseman, who once won the 1950s Radio Host Award, couldn't win it tonight.
I mean, I think it's a little ridiculous. Who is a better backstage information go-getter scooper duper? George Iseman.
Ridiculous. I was going to say Gia Miller.
I mean, that's true. That's true. But was Gia Miller nominated? Was Gia Miller even given an award? Conspiracy. Play the conspiracy music.
But she was all over the show tonight. She even commentated a match on BTI. We're going to talk about BTI in a second. But how about we start with BTI and our friend George Iseman, who's back in his green screen gray room. What? You have a green screen, George. Why don't you make it different? Like, why don't you... Sunny tropical island George Iseman. Why doesn't he use, like, I don't know. Who was the guy?
Continuity. Continuity.
Mr. Freeze? Like, why don't you use a Mr. Freeze background and be like, really lean into the gimmick? They call it Iceman Intel and they have
copyright infringement.
Antarctica in the background as George Iseman gives us the coldest scoops you can think of
from a refrigerator. You're on to something.
It's cold scoops with George Iseman.
Ice cold.
The man's going to be dulling out all the ice cream. Anyway, I really hope that I get to see him at the Impact Rebellion show in April, because I'm just going to ask him so many stupid questions, and I'm going to try and get them on air. I'm going to do my best. Anyway, Weissman's giving us his intel. He recaps Hard to Kill, and he says, famous superstars from the world of professional wrestling and some alumni will be here tonight, which, of course, in Atlanta, where they filmed the fallout for Hard to Kill. We'd find out later on who those people were, and there are more to come. I can guarantee you that. I'm not going to spoil anything, but some really fun names coming out. There was that. And then they did the match. Do we want to talk about the match?
I mean,
we should probably set it up first.
Yeah, because the match itself was good, but the match wasn't about the match. The match was about the post-match, if you will.
Agreed. So the design, the team of Big Con and Alan Angels took on Yuya Uemura and Delirious. Like Cresta said, this was very much a match all about what happened after the match. Mm-hmm. As expected, the design wins. Matt Raywalt was not on commentary for this match for whatever reason, so GM Miller filled in. At one point, they talk about the tag team division and Impact, and GM mentions Ace of Base, and Tom says, oh, you would mention them, wouldn't you? For those who don't know, it's very open. It's not a secret. GM Miller and Ace Austin are a couple. They are together. So I thought it was very cute that Tom would go ahead and do that.
I like how she no-sold it. So I don't even like those guys.
It was funny. Like, her trying to navigate being the commentator for this match while trying to be like the straight person as Tom was just being a troll. Either way,
it's weird to see Tom the troll, because literally that's Raywalt's job.
Yes, so it's good for them to just switch it up for a change. It was a fun match. There was nothing here. I love this was so stupid. Mm-hmm. They mentioned that the reason why Yuya and Delirious are teaming together is because they don't necessarily know how to communicate with other members of the locker room.
To quote Gia Miller, wrestling transcends words.
Yuya speaks Japanese and Delirious speaks
Delirious.
It made no sense, and I loved it. Anyway, match was fine, nothing big. It was really was all about the ending. Khan does a really, this was the finish, was Khan does a giant gorilla press drop on Delirious, and then Angels hits what he calls the Halo Strike. It's a spin kick. He gets the 1-2-3. And then post-match, this is where it gets interesting. Diener calls out Callahan, come down to the ring. Callahan comes out, and then Diener cuts Callahan's music, says Sammy is dead, the Death Machine is dead. Callahan, come to the ring. He says each step of the process to join the design requires making the right choice. Last week he cut his hair. That was the right choice. And then tells Khan to go grab Delirious for the next step, which is following orders. They take out Delirious, does Sammy Callahan. They get Delirious up for the Cactus Driver 97. And as Sammy does his thumbs up, thumbs down, he's about to do thumbs down. And Dreamer, I have Dreamer, which is like Tommy Dreamer. And Diener grabs the thumb of Sami Callihan and stops him. And then Diener hits the move. And then, sorry. Diener,
are you having a stroke? Are you okay?
I'm having troubles tonight. I don't know forgetting what to do. Wow. Okay. Let's.
You got this.
Sammy gets delirious up for the Cactus Driver 97, goes to do thumbs up, thumbs down. He gets stopped by Diener. And then Sammy hits the Cactus Driver 97 on Delirious anyway. Diener sits on Delirious. Okay.
I want to give you a hug. You look like in this moment, like, you know what? Show's over. Turn this around. I got you.
No, my night tonight.
It's all good. No, absolutely. That is exactly what happened to the T. You could see, it looks like on the outside that Callahan now is like, maybe I bit off more than I could chew. I thought I could still be this crazy hyena and not so much fall in line. Diener really taking his hand and doing the thumbs up and just stopping it. Like, no, you already know it's thumbs down. Like, what are you doing this? I'm excited to see where this goes.
Sorry, I just saw they just announced at No Surrender it will be Masha Slamovich and Mickey James for the Knockouts World Championship. So they're not waiting. They're just getting right to it. Nice. We'll talk about that when we get into the actual Impact stuff. Mm-hmm. They do reiterate all of this, the design and Sammy stuff later on, and we'll talk about it. But for now, let's hit you with the super chat from Flame Inc. Says, hey, Joel, sorry about the WWE question. D-Von was released. Do you know why? Also, I haven't watched Impact since DDP was there. Is it worth watching? Well, yes, absolutely. Impact is worth watching. It's still fun. It's a great show. We cover it every single week. And I think more often than not, we're happy to talk about it. We enjoy the show. It's different, definitely, from AEW or WWE programming. But at the same time, you have some of the best wrestlers you may know and some that you don't know and probably should be getting to know. So give Impact a shot. And just like most wrestling, don't take it completely seriously. Do you want to add anything to that, Cresta? And then we'll tackle number two.
I don't know much about the D-Von. I don't got the scoops. I'm sorry. But I will say, as somebody who didn't watch Impact, like for real, would dabble here and there, I have had so much fun covering this since I started working for Fightful, and watching Impact every week, it is very different. It's sports entertainment with the right amount of wrestling mixed in. And I do like, in the sense that there's a lot of noise in wrestling right now with backstage drama. It's nice to just watch Impact and be sports entertained. It's just really nice to be like, wow, this is either really dumb or this is really dumb. Like, this is great. This is wrestling. So definitely give Impact a shot. You never have to worry about the in-ring performance. And when you start to worry about it, they hit you with the rope-a-dope and then it gets good.
That was very weird. Impact posted the thing twice and then took it down. So it was very, no, but it's still up. It was just that they posted it twice. I was very confused.
It was like, mind your business, but it's still there. I said, mind your business.
Mind your business. I had to read me the other one that they didn't take down. I was like, why is it suddenly gone? Did somebody pull the trigger before they were supposed to? No, someone just got trigger happy and pulled it twice. Anyway, D-Von Dudley, as far as I know, he was not released. He and WWE just parted ways. He released a statement on his Twitter today. You can go ahead and read it all on Fightful.com. I don't know why. I'm sure Sean Ross Sapp's going to give some more information if there is any. It could honestly just be that after a while, he was done doing the job. That happens. Sometimes sometimes you're just done. Sometimes you want to move on from whatever you're working on.
Want to do different things. You don't want to be like Daniel Radcliffe, don't want to be Harry Potter forever. So, you know.
Yeah. M.A. Sulko saying, quick troll, translated Delirious promo, please. You send me one, I will do my best to translate it. Can you speak Delirious? I'm sure you can, right?
Me? Maybe after some Jack Daniels. Let me talk to Jack Daniels first, and then I can speak Delirious.
Good stuff. Let's get from Dobby to Brain Heenan. Great main event tonight. The show as a whole felt like a big spotlight on their stacked Knockouts division. How strong it is, overflowing with talent. Yes, I said this on Twitter. Tonight was very much a Knockouts heavy show. And then the last two matches were the only non-Knockout segment. And the Dave LaGreca, whatever. We'll talk about that. Yeah, but Cressa, this was a very knockouts heavy show. It showed off a lot of the division and a lot of potential as to who will challenge Mickie James next. What are we doing now? Where do we go with the knockouts?
Wherever they want to go. And I say that kind of in jest, but like literally from the opening segment all the way to the even at the end of the match, I was still thinking about the knockouts division. I have been saying this for a while, and this is no disrespect to any place anywhere else, but the knockouts division is the best representation, in my opinion, of women's wrestling. There are stiff matches. There are joke matches. There are matches you wouldn't expect that would be so good. When we saw Hard to Kill last weekend, Friday, one of the standout things to me was Taylor Wilde versus Killer Kelly. I was not expecting them to have that type of stiff chemistry, and we were treated to that again tonight. So I think that when you have things to offset Giselle Shaw just blaming everybody else and Lish just being like, go away. When you have stiff matches like that, even with technical matches like Deonna Purrazzo, you can't help but be like, this women's division, this knockouts division, just this division in general, because I see a lot of intergender play. I'm here for it. 10 out of 10s across the board. Wait, that's somebody else's gimmick.
Actually, you mentioned that because today Sean Spears and Cassie Lee did welcome their baby boy to the world.
Oh, so congratulations. Hey, yeah, come on, baby.
Came in weighing 10 pounds and 10 ounces.
Was that a troll?
That's not true. That's not what it is. That's a joke.
That's a bowling ball. That's a big baby.
No. Anyway, let's dig into Impact, the actual show. Here we are. They open up with the RIP to Jay Briscoe, and Tom Hannifin kind of narrates a short intro eulogizing Briscoe. And Jay Briscoe, the Briscoes are former Impact Tag Team Champions, which I think a lot of people don't remember that because it was early 2021, if I'm not mistaken, and they were still doing no crowd shows. Like, the Briscoes, I think they dropped those titles almost immediately. Like, first time there were crowds back in Impact, I think that's when they dropped those titles. But they had, pardon the pun, they did make an impact on the tag team division. And hearing that news, again, all week you've seen just the thoughts and comments pouring in about Jay Briscoe, not only the wrestler, but as the father, as the family man. There was just an amazing outpouring of love and support to that family. So I want to send my condolences out to the Briscoes and to that family. It's awful.
I would like to echo those sentiments. I had said on Twitter that I wish I would have known that they were wrestling longer than I got to experience them live. You know what I mean? It's a tragedy, and my heart aches for that family, the children, everything. He seemed like a really nice person. I never met him personally, but my condolences go out to his family. And then the next day was his brother's birthday. Ay, caramba.
Oof. Yeah. So one very agonizing stretch of time going on right now, but we keep that family in our thoughts, especially right now with everything that's going on in the background. So
there's been a
GoFundMe, but a similar support URL that's been going around from various wrestlers. I know Sean Ross Sapp had also tweeted it out. If you have the means and you're able to financially support them, please consider it. There's a lot of uphill battles for that family going on right now.
Yeah.
But let's continue. There's nowhere I can segue this.
Yeah, there's no nice way to segue that. Yeah.
Mickie James comes out. It's her night. The last rodeo may be over, but hardcore country lives forever. And then out comes Bully Ray. Now, Cresta, I don't know if you remember this, but on Friday night after Hard to Kill, I asked, how would you feel if Bully Ray wasn't done with Impact Wrestling? How do you feel now that Bully Ray is in fact not completely done with Impact Wrestling?
So now that I have all my friends addicted to Impact, I was definitely watching this in Discord, and we all saw Hard to Kill together, and audibly myself and two other people were like, "Oh, why are you still here? I thought we were done." I mean, I guess, but like, what do you have to say? I mean, it was kind of funny when he was coming out and they were like, "You tapped out." I'm like, Mickie James tapped out too. Nobody talking about that because it doesn't fit the narrative and, you know, control your narrative and whatnot. But Why? And then I'm skipping ahead just a little bit that it looks like you're going to be feuding with Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, we're going to talk about that because I'm going to talk about what Steven Jensen had to say in the same Hard to Kill post show. Oh, hey, shout out to Speedball Mike Bailey in the chat. Hey, friends, sorry I snapped. I went a little nuts in that pit fight. You know what? This is one time, Speedball. I think that it's okay. You did what you needed to do. We're going to talk about that match a little bit later on tonight.
I mean this with the utmost respect. Kenny King was trying you. You did what needed to be done. I love Kenny chaos.
King
in his
boxing shorts, though. I got to give him to it. Kenny King wearing the boxing shorts. That's a good stuff.
It was giving me Sagat from Street Fighter. I love a good Muay Thai pant. Muay Thai shorts.
So we'll go back to the opening segment with Bully and everyone else. Matt Raywalt mentions the controversial tap spot from Hard to Kill, which I'm really glad that they talked about it. Mickie James, of course, at one point seeming to have tapped out during her match at Hard to Kill versus Jordynne Grace. So that story is not over, and they keep making allusions to Jordynne Grace having a rematch in her contract against Mickie James. So I'm looking forward to that. Bully tells Mickie James to leave, but instead of saying it, he points to the entrance ramp. And if you notice this, the entire time, he does not look at her. I loved this. Cresta, I know sometimes it's so hard to like separate the character from the guy. But this has been so, I have to say, Bully is doing it right.
He's getting like some superb heel work in.
Yes, it really has become a bit of I'm not going to call it a masterclass because it's not perfect by any means. But it's so strong and so good that I really have to say, like, there's stuff there that I think people get a little too into their feelings and then hate the guy. I'm sitting there, I'm just like, yeah, I love this.
Oh, he's under my skin. I'm not going to lie. He is under my skin. Because as, like, it was just so dismissive, just like, this is Mickey's moment. They're talking about the last rodeo. I loved her gear, everything. And he's just like, get out. The Bronx in me came out, and I was like, Mickey, if I were you, I would have told him to S my D, because how dare you? This is my moment. You tapped out. I may have tapped, but I still won. You did not. Oh man, Bully is being a bully. I'll give it to him, but he got under my skin. Yep.
It's good stuff too. Mickey says the fans want Bully Ray out of the ring instead, and they chant, get out Bully. Bully cuts her off and says, you know, you're wasting your time. It's not her ring. She wasn't in the main event. Bully was the main event. He sold out the show. He put over Josh Alexander. He made him a somebody. Just all the delusional heel stuff that we keep talking about, and I love it. And then Mickey just reiterates, Bully, you tapped out. And then Bully just warns Mickie James, says, just doesn't even look at her face again. Just the disrespect, and it's so wonderful. And then Mickey calls Bully a bitter bully, politicking to get what he wants and throwing a temper tantrum when he doesn't get it. Mickey won't back down and says if Bully wants her out of the ring, he'll have to take her out. Out comes Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. Tasha Steelz reiterates that Mickey still hasn't beaten her, therefore the last rodeo continues, or at least it's not proven. Bully interjects, called Mickey a two-bit champion. And just, that's the only thing he has to say. He just kind of like, yeah, you tell her. And Tasha's like, I want the Knockouts title, invites Bully to beat down Mickey, but then Savannah Evans instead takes the first swing. And then out come Jordynne Grace, Frankie Kazarian to make the save. I'm stuttering tonight. It's great. And then out comes Director of Authority, Santino Marella. Because, of course, Santino needs to do something about it, and he doesn't know what. And Cresta, here it comes. If you think there's someone who needs to put a match together, you think of a person who puts tag team matches together all the time. You think of 3-time karate world champion, former WCW commissioner, Ernest the Cat Miller.
I'm not going to hold you. I thought Teddy Long was going to come out that curtain player. I'm like, and when he came out, I was like, Iceman, where did you get this scoop? On the ground?
Sorry. Oh, scoop on the ground. All right.
It's a scoop. It's like a spaghetti meatball that rolls on the floor.
So Ernest the Cat Miller comes out. He says, I live in Atlanta and I used to be WCW commissioner. He says, I'm making a match. Just make the match. And so Bully goes to take a powder, and Santino's like, no, I can fire you if you don't do this match. So Santino makes the match. Jordan Grace, Mickey James, Frankie Kazarian versus Savannah Evans, Sasha Steele, and Bully Ray. They get right into the match. A good match. Honestly, this match was a standout match for Savannah Evans. First of all, she had on new gear, and it looked great. She looked great. She worked great. It was a lot of ring time for her, and she showed out. I think this was her best showing on Impact since she came into the company. What did you think about Savannah Evans? And then we'll talk about the rest of the match.
I will say my only problem with the opening segment is I really liked it when it was Bully versus Mickey, but I really felt like Mickey should have had her moment. At some point, it felt a little overbooked. I'm not going to hold you. I did feel that it was, there's a lot going on. I think Santino didn't need Bearcat, but hey, we in Atlanta, baby, let him work. The match itself was really good. Jordan Grace picking up Bully Ray where all his limbs were in the air. I was low-key expecting her to ankle slam him. If she did, I would have popped. I would have gone to the moon and back because that was iconic. I also liked how Bully was just like, I'm not interested in fighting anybody else except Mickey. Only after Savannah Evans and Tasha Steele beat her up for like 2 minutes. And when Kazarian was like, let's fight, he's like, why would I fight you? Didn't even want to fight Grace, bro. But when he did put, I don't like Bully Ray. He's giving me the heel that I don't like. But I don't like him in the kayfabe sense. If that makes sense, like, oh, he's doing a good job, so I hate him.
So you mentioned Jordan Grace wanting to fight Bully Ray, and Bully's like, no. Turns his back on Jordan Grace. Again, the disrespect that he has to everyone. Grace comes over and just like taps him on the back. And then he turns around. He's like, oh, you want to fight me? Okay, I'll fight you. And then you mentioned it. Savannah Evans comes and takes back control of the match. Eventually, we get a little bit of action between Jordan Grace and Bully. He breaks up a pin, and then Jordan Grace gets pissed off, grabs Bully, picks him up for a slam, and then he rakes her eyes, takes her down, and that's it. Kazarian takes Bully down. Bully takes a powder. He's out of the match. It doesn't matter because right away, like, Mickey just pins Tasha Steele, and that's that. No more questions about whether or not Tasha Steele could beat Mickey James, because Mickey James just beat her.
Period. I mean, there's still the argument, well, you never beat me one-on-one, da 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 da. But I think that should be it for now, because she got a lot on her plate with Masha right around the corner, Jordan right here, probably be Evans before Steels, and that could further a storyline where it's like, yo, bro, how come you get a title shot before I do, and I'm the greatest that beat the greatest? Yeah, so I'd see a Steels-Evans breakup eventually happening. And if this is the catalyst, I'm okay with that, because Evans has gotten so much better. I have nothing against Tasha Steele, but I would like to see the program with them against each other. I think that'd be nice.
It definitely feels like we're loading up to get a more Savannah Evans heavy partnership, right?
Yeah.
Between Tasha and Savannah, let's say they make it through this whole ordeal as a tag team still. It feels like maybe Tasha will go to the background and then Savannah will pop up and take it out next. So
yeah,
I'm fine with that. And you mentioned Masha Slamovich. She comes out, she has the photo. They're doing that again, where she takes out the photo from the envelope and it's a big red X over Mickey's face. Mickey just kisses it and shoves the photo in Masha's face. Like I said earlier, that's been made official for No Surrender, which is the next Impact event. They're going to do Masha versus Mickey James. That's a big match. Do you main event that one, or do you main event Josh Alexander versus the winner of the match that Santino makes, which is the Golden Six Shooter match, which is basically a six-pack challenge?
I have no idea. I feel like that's not the main eventer, because I'm going to believe in you, Joel Pearl. Like, Joe Hendry, I believe in you, Joel Pearl. You had said when we did our predictions that if Masha Slamovich wins and she goes to face Mickey James, she's going to beat the brakes off of Mickey James, and that's it for her title run. And it's gone to Masha. I believe that that's going to happen. So I think maybe that goes on first, so we can all be like, yo, why would you do that?
Depending on what happened this weekend in Florida when they're taping, we might see it. But again, I feel like you can main event that show with Mickey and Masha with the same incredibly uncomfortable beatdown.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I mean, sometimes it's how you leave them. So I don't know if people want to go. Would that be the go out? But that would bring a lot of chatter. It'd bring a lot of work and speculation. Or you want to start off the show with like, yo, what the fuck? You know what I mean? So
But that's the thing. If you start the show with that and people are so like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened, then all of a sudden it takes away from the rest of the program.
Fair. Fair. Okay. So maybe you do main event with it. I think, like you said, it might depend on how tapings go and what we see over the next couple of weeks. So we'll see.
Some very, very cool stuff. I'm very excited for that. We're backstage. Santino and the Cat. I mentioned this a minute ago. Santino makes what he calls the Golden Six Shooter match, which is basically just a six-pack challenge of former Impact World Champions to determine the number one contender. He says Chris Sabin, Edward Edwards, and then the four animals. He says Rhino, Swan, Rich Swan, Moose, and Callahan.
Yeah, he's an animal. He's a beast.
A beast? What? Anyway, it's fine with me. So I don't even have any words for that. Kat says Santino's doing a great job and says, follow your heart, which is like that's the only thing I ever want the Cat to tell me in my entire lifetime. Follow your heart.
I honestly, that's the best advice I give to people when I feel like, listen, I don't know what to tell you, so follow your heart.
Like Triple H telling me to follow my nose. And then they run into Dirty Dango and Santino says, Dango spent time on the Force. Do you have any information for me? Because of course, Macklin walks into frame. By the way, he also served, so they don't make any reference to that. Macklin says he deserves to be number one contender after he beat Rich Swann. And Santino asks Dango for advice, and Dango says, put me in a match with him. And so Macklin versus Dango is made, and Macklin's like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I'll beat his ass. It was a funny segment. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but it was, got to where we needed to be, right?
It was fine, but I am growing increasingly sympathetic for Macklin. Macklin literally just beat Rich Swann, and then it's like, okay, we're going to put Rich Swann in this thing. So what I got to do? I got to lose, and then you tell me I'm at the back of the line? I mean, if we're trying to make Macklin a heel, it's hard for me to see him as a heel because I'm so sympathetic to his situation. Super, I get it. It's all former Impact champions. But okay, you already won. Let somebody else win. Like, how are you going to get new win? I want Steve Macklin to go ape at this point because I feel for him. At least give the man a title shot. At least give the man a title shot.
And like they're saying in the chat, Macklin's been right this entire time. He is okay. So there's this little underlying piece of storytelling that I don't think, I'm not going to say people aren't thinking about, but this is something that maybe people should be thinking about. Josh Alexander, the current Impact champion, is beating former TNA and Impact World Champions, right? He keeps he beat Bully Ray, he beat Frankie Kazarian, like he beat Sabin, he beat all of these former champions. On the other side of it, guess who's also doing that? And he's an uncrowned champion, and that's Steve Macklin. He keeps beating former Impact World Champions. This is all leading to these two going at it, and Macklin being like, I did all the same shit you did, Josh Alexander. The only difference is I don't have your title yet, but I should have it. I'm really looking forward to that. And it feels like Macklin's going to get that title, but I don't know when. And if they do it at Rebellion, that's going to be it's going to be a tough night because we're in Toronto and that's Josh Alexander's territory.
Something Canadians are all nice. You'd be sorry about it. Sorry.
Sorry. And then they're doing, by the way, they announced they're doing the tapings in Toronto the next night on a Monday night. So I'm going to be sitting watching that, I guess.
I think the only person that Josh Alexander beat that wasn't a former world champion was Speedball.
Yeah. And Speedball came out, it was an open challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. And even then that open challenge was Bully Ray. I'll beat you up twice. So, I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I like where this is going. I kind of hope that they force the idea a little bit more down the road because it's a really interesting story when you get down to it. And it's just kind of lying there underneath everything and they're waiting to bring it up. So we'll see where it goes, but I think it's pretty good. Yeah, there's no other wrestling on Mondays anyway, so I can go and enjoy the Impact tapings that night.
True.
Right?
True.
Sports entertainment. Anyway, Ashley D'Amboise is taking on Deonna Purrazzo. By the way, shout out to Ashley D'Amboise because she has been on AEW Dark recently. She showed up on SmackDown around Christmas time. She was one of the dancers in the Nutcracker match, she was a dancer. You remember. Now you see it. And she's just making the rounds. She's doing really well for herself. This match was a systematic picking apart of Ashley by Deonna Purrazzo. Powerbomb into the Queen's Gambit wins it for Deonna. Again, a lot of strong women atop the Knockouts roster. That's what they're pushing. What do you think of the match? Do you have anything to add?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just that stretch in the beginning where she had, is it Dubois? How do you say her name?
Damboise.
I'm getting confused because it was literally a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race named Irene Dubois. So that's all I kept hearing. I'm like, that is not that girl's name.
No, so, that's York Santos.
Huh? No, no mas, please. I'm already confused. Yeah, but that stretch where she had like her knees or her back and her arms, like I don't know what that was, but that was clean. I am always impressed with Purrazzo. Like literally I mean this as a compliment. She's literally the Dean Malenko of women to me. Like she has a million holds. Like she's
no, it's a good shout.
Like she's so good. She is so good. Like I do not want to wrestle her at all because even if I can quote unquote outpower you, if you get my hand, oh man, I have arthritis now. No thanks.
So we'll skip ahead. We'll kind of move around for a sec. Trey is in the back and walks up to Ashley Damboise, who had just had her match, and he basically tries to hit on her in the creepy Chad way that you would do.
Not the creepy Chad way.
He was being the creepiest Chad ever, and he's like, oh, yeah, actually. I'm not going to say it. He basically says, like, yeah, a really good match when you were doing this. Da, 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 da. And then Ashley just kind of looks around and says, thank you. And then Trey's like, oh, that was disrespectful. Are you being disrespectful? And she's like, aren't you the guy who defaced the X Division title belt? And then he's like, listen, toots. And it just goes off. And in walks Action Mike Jackson. And what did we say in the Hard to Kill post show? Action Mike Jackson should be X Division champion. And Mike Jackson stands up for the ladies. Mike Jackson is called old by Trey Miguel, of course. Jackson challenges for the X Division Championship next week, and he'll bring the title home to a place where there's respect. This was fun. It's harmless, and we get the match we wanted. What do you think of this with Trey, Ashley, and Mike Jackson?
I hated the first part. When Mike Jackson challenged him, that's the first thing. I was like, yo, didn't we say he should be X Division champion? I'd be memeing. But you can't make my memes a reality and then not do it. Do it, you coward. Make him X. Because when he came out, the grin on my face was like, oh, you're a clown for this, Impact. Oh, you're a clown for this. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to watch Mike Jackson take it to Trey Miguel for him to cheat on this old man. Have you no shame?
See, Scott D'Amore, now that he's been in a hospital and he's convalescing, he has so much time on his hands. So he's spending all of his time on his phone, reading the tweets, reading what we're doing. And you know what else he's doing? He's reading Fightful Select because he spent his $5 on all the best scoops in wrestling. He's
got a update
on Naomi, where I'm sorry, she won't be going to Impact anytime soon if the report is as expected. There's a ton of stuff going on. It's contract season anyway, so Scott D'Amore needs to find out who's a free agent, who's not a free agent. He's finding out through Fightful Select. We had Ask Grapsody today where the guys were fielding all the questions from y'all. So go ahead and subscribe to us. Fightful Select, it's the best. $5 in the business. So much content that you get. You get the list goes on. You get Sour Graps with Alex Palowski if you want things on the sour end of the life cycle. Or maybe you want to have a nice time talking about independent wrestling. Well, Steven Jensen's got you every single weekend with the Weekender podcast. He also joins us now for the post-pay-per-view and post-impact specials when he can. So you'll be seeing more of Steven Jensen here on youtube.com/Fightful. But if you want to hear him for sure every single weekend, subscribe to Fightful Select. $5. Get you in. Get your scoops. Get everything you need. I think it's pretty easy. Anything to add on your end there?
$5.
Once upon a time, it was $5 footlongs from Subway, but they had to up their prices. Well, guess what? We didn't do that.
And like I say every week, you're just going to end up watching people going to report about things from Fightful anyway. Skip a step.
That's right. Get the right answer. If you're going to copy the homework, at least get it right.
Don't think you know. Know and know you know,
Got a super chat from Ryan Sullivan. Joel, why did you not dress up? Well, I was not part of the Fightful Awards. I am part of the Impact Watching Awards, which we do every week here. Anyway, I'm wearing a Motorhead t-shirt, so clearly I'm winning. Gia Miller's in the back. She's going to the basement of Center Stage looking for PCO. Oh, my good Lord.
Gia Miller is the bravest wrestling journalist, and she and Kayla Braxton deserve her flowers.
And she's very scared. And she asks one question, and he starts shaking. And honestly, I'm just going to say it, Cresta. He gets orgasmic. He starts rolling the eyes and starts moving around and shaking all the cage. And she's just like, I got to get this shit out of here. I got to go. This is awful. And that's the end of it. So PCO is back in Impact Wrestling.
Orgasmic? I was thinking seizure. I mean, maybe it's the first time he's seen a woman since he's been in the grave. You know, it's been a long time. I don't know.
$5 fight long.
Can you imagine you spend $5 and then Fightful says you want to fight someone?
Only at the pay-per-views. Taylor Wilde and Killer Kelly. You mentioned this match earlier when we were talking about the Knockouts division. So It's worth mentioning that these two are legitimate friends. We talked about this on other post shows. And sometimes when you get to beat up with your friends, you get to get a little more heavy-handed because there's an understanding there of what you're doing. And that's what these two did. By the way, at this point in the show, this is the third Knockouts match in a row, which I found to be just fantastic.
Yes.
Suplex into the guillotine from Taylor Wilde was really solid stuff. Honestly, just the match itself was really good. Wilde fights off the Killer Clutch, hits the Wilde Ride, gets 2.9. Then they do a bunch of pin attempts, the roll-throughs and so on, until Killer Kelly finally locks in the Killer Clutch for the submission and the win. It was a bit sloppy at the end, but they got there. Otherwise, this match was so good, and they got real heavy with each other. What do you think of this match?
It is nice seeing Taylor Wilde from the first time she came into now. This wrestling style is like night and day. You couldn't tell me that's the same fucking, same wrestler. Like, she's really good. Like, what she was doing when she first got there versus now is like stiff. This match was really unbelievably stiff. Again, I was watching this in Discord with my friends, and everyone in my Discord was like, are they going to kiss or are they going to kill each other? I'm like, that's professional wrestling. Both. You don't know. Maybe both. Yeah, both.
Well, at one point, Wilde is slapping Killer Kelly.
Yeah.
Anymore. And that's when I'm like, she ain't Killer Kelly. She's Kinky Kelly at that point.
Yeah, and then right into that, there was the locking, look at me, and then headbutted the crap out of her over and over. I'm like, yo, are y'all sharing beers and a cigarette after this match? Like,
yeah, there's a lot.
I was put to the tape.
And then Solko drops a Humper Chat saying, Killer Kelly and Taylor Wilde as a team, so good or no good? I think that would be so good because we talked about it. This Impact Knockouts division is stacked. Mm-hmm. And everyone else needs to do something for a while. And once this Giselle Shaw tag team situation gets resolved, Death Dolls are going to need another team to face. And who better than Killer Kelly and Taylor Wilde, this witchy, creepy team taking on the Death Dolls, who are this witchy, creepy team, but from another dimension.
I could see that. The only caveat I could see with a team like that is sometimes Killer Kelly, you don't know how to act. And I can see them getting disqualified a lot because you don't know when to let go. They'd be like, yo, sis, what are you doing? So, I mean, I could see it. I could see them being an actually really strong challenge to the Death Dolls.
Impact needs to start focusing a little bit more on other tag teams and not just throwing together women. It would be nice to see a more actual women's tag teams, not just two knockouts that couldn't win the tag title, or sorry, couldn't win the knockouts titles, just going and teaming up together. Because there's been a lot of that. You had Deonna and Chelsea do that. The Inspiration were a team that came together. Anyway, you've had a few teams that have come together. And
it's the curse of Giselle Shaw. The specter of Giselle Shaw.
We'll get to her in a second. We're backstage with the design and Callahan. Apparently, this is a 7-step process. So what is this? Next week is week 3, which brings us to the 26th. So it's 3, 4, 5, 6. So the 23rd, the 24th is No Surrender. So whatever they're doing is going up to No Surrender. That's great. Anyway, step 1 was head shaving. He made the right choice. Step 2 was following orders. Clearly made the right choice. Next week is step 3. Junior tells him to compete in a 6-shooter match, win the world title, and bring it to the design. And then Khan grabs Callahan on the way out saying, if he loses, there will be consequences. What are the consequences, Cresta Star?
You have to wash Khan's back.
He's a large man.
That's why did everyone just thought of the Oosie Hot promo with FTR and the Usos? I don't know if you remember this. They put their shaving cream, was supposed to be icy hot, and then they got it on their balls. That was the joke.
Jesus.
WWE in 2018, 2019 was a wild time. I don't know, man. I'm thinking about when Eric Young was a terrorizing Diener. There was no process. It was just terror. Eric Young gave him no one. It was just beating him up, had him locked in a dungeon. So, I mean, at least they're giving you a step-by-step process. He's a benevolent king. But there's a lot of tough people in that match. So how do you do it? If you're not supposed to do, like, the death machine, because Sami Callihan would definitely wait in the stands and let everyone fight and then jump in at the last minute. But, you know, I'm interested to see how that goes because I don't think he wins that.
So they've announced a whole bunch of matches for this taping coming up in...
Are you looking ahead?
Yeah, I am. And also Chad had mentioned that Killer Kelly and Taylor Wilde will be teaming up. I'm not going to spoil what their match is, but... No, there's a lot of really good stuff there coming up. So get excited for that. Get excited for that.
I'm excited.
Some really good stuff. Okay. We're not going to spoil anything. I'll let, if you want to get spoiled, you can keep track on your own, but let's keep going.
Spoilerino cappuccino.
That's right. Backstage with Santino, Josh Alexander's with him. And Santino says, they call it the palindrome because it has a double meaning. And I'm like, oh shit, he's dumb. It's a 6-shooter. Anyway, Josh is just happy Santino's here and he walks off and I'm like, smart move, Josh. Just walk away. And then in walks Giselle Shaw with Jay Vidal and says she's been stabbed in the back by every tag partner she's ever had, but she's not going to sit back and play the victim card. She said, I had a Knockouts tag title match a few weeks back. I didn't win, but that's not my fault. She says, I beat the Death Dolls at Hard to Kill in a match that, by the way, apparently it did happen, but it was a digital exclusive. They didn't tell us, but it became a digital exclusive. They did do the match before Hard to Kill of the Death Dolls, the three of them taking on Giselle Shaw and I forget who else now. I'm sorry. But the match happened. I did watch it. And she's just taking advantage of Santino being new. Says, you know, I had a Knockouts tag title match a few weeks back. I didn't win, but that's not my fault. Since I beat the Death Dolls, all I need is a tag partner and I should get another shot. So Santino's like, that's fine, but you need a tag partner. Lish comes in and he's like, hey, would you like to team with Giselle Shaw? And Lish is like, nope. And another girl just walks by. He's like, nope. And then Santino says, well, unfortunately, nobody likes you, but I'll find you a partner. And then Giselle says, I'm very well liked. And Jay's like, I like her a lot. This was so stupid and so funny at the same time, Cresta. It was absolute clowning. And this was Giselle just being like, just straight faced, like, I'm totally right. It's cool. Delusion. Don't worry about it. What do you think?
My favorite part is when he was like, you, Alicia. She's like, nope, like, not me. I didn't even see who this other woman was. She was in the frame and then she was out of the frame. She's like, not me. I don't want it.
I tried to step through it. I had no idea who it was. I think it was just a stagehand, someone who works with the company. Mm-hmm. Just nope.
I mean, yeah. Maybe this could be a way to bring in somebody to be Giselle's partner, maybe bring someone back or someone new. Because, like I said earlier, Giselle is kind of like the specter of the women's tag division. She gets with these people and then breaks them up. She has great ideas, but the execution is poor. Or the people in her group have poor egos. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe it's someone new. I'm sure whoever has read ahead in chat is like,
yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's going to be a really fun match. It's going to be next week. We'll go down what's going on next week towards the end of the show. Dirty Dango and Steve Macklin have a match. Well, first of all, Dango's music is basically Spin Me Right Round, but it's way better, and I give him that. I would like Dango and Swingman to be a tag team. I think we've talked about this before. I'm still on that. And this match had more back and forth than I would have liked, considering Steve Macklin basically beating the brakes out of everyone and Dango not being this threatening force in Impact Wrestling. I get that, you know, Dango came from WWE. He had a tag title shot. Da, 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 da. It's just, I didn't want Dango to have as much as he did. The match was fine. They fight to the stage. Dango tries for a tornado DDT on the ramp, but Macklin suplexes him back into the ring instead, hits caught in the crosshairs, and then the KIA. He gets the win. Macklin, as expected, beats Dirty Dango. What do you think of the match, Cresta?
I agree with you that I like Dango, but I feel like this should have been a Macklin showcase. If anything, it should have been Macklin beating up Dango so bad that when he goes to pin him, he just picks him up. It's like, no, I'm not done with you. I feel like at this point, like I said earlier, I feel like we need to pull the trigger on Macklin. He deserves it, and Macklin is right. He's like, how many more people I got to beat up? And you still won't give me a title shot. And this is something that I don't think is Alexander's fault, because I think this is independent of him. But at some point, this has got to be an oversight. Nobody watches the product. You don't see that this man is beating people up every week. Alexander, you do have the choice and the opportunity to make some of your own matches because you wanted to fight Bully Ray and Scott D'Amore here. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, how many more people does Macklin have to go through before you put some respect on Macklin's name?
Yeah, exactly that. And in the chat, they're asking Dango, like Fandango? Yes.
Yes, the movie ticket service.
Yes, that's right. Welcome to Fandango. How can I take your order? Gia Miller's backstage with major players, and they say that Ace of Bays asked for a match next week versus the major players, so they're going to do that. It's been made official. Meyer says Ace of Bays got screwed, but also the major players got screwed, and they've been getting screwed for weeks now. Cardona and Myers, this is so funny. Myers is like, we are men, and Ace of Bays are children in a man's world. And he trails off as Moose walks into the shot. He says, bad luck started when Joe Hendry beat Brian Myers for the digital media title.
He didn't even appear, and I'm so mad. Zero out of two.
No, it's because he called him Joe Hendry, not Joe. He didn't emphasize the beat, but there you go. Anyway, Cardona's like, look, you just want us to take out Joe Hendry for you, but you know what? I am the king of the internet. I am the great. We, him and Myers, are the greatest digital media champions of all time. So Cardona's going to go after Hendry after Ace of Bays. This was a fun little segment. I'm looking forward to Cardona and Hendry and what they do with this. Anything to add on your end?
Anytime Joe Hendry is on my screen, I believe. And I do feel like there is some comedic gold between Hendry and Cardona and whatever big jabroni hours they're about to do. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I forgot where I said this, but I said this last week. I don't know if Joe Hendry could somehow get a way to get Moose, to manage Moose, and back to Roos and have Moose and Bull and Moose and Bull. I want that to happen. If this is the segue, let it rip. Let it rip, Impact.
Let's go. Tell you what, I don't want to see them let rip. I want to see Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer in 2023. Dave LaGreca is interviewing Tommy Dreamer. So for those who don't know, Dave LaGreca hosts the Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM, and Tommy Dreamer is a part of it, and Bully Ray's a part of it, and Mickey James does some work for them too. It's like the Impact 4 hours now. But and by the way, Fightful's own Denise Salcedo is going to be filling in on Saturday on that show.
So anyway, Hollywood Denise Salcedo, Hollywood, she's so popping.
Go check her out. That's Saturday. She'll be on with the real star, Mark Henry. You know, it's time for the main event. That guy, the world's strongest main event. Anyway, they do this whole segment where they're basically talking about Busted Open, but making it an Impact. This was the trade-off, basically, because after the segment, Matt Raywalt and Tom Hannafin are just like, by the way, thank you to Busted Open, who've been covering Impact going into Hard to Kill. And I'm like, so they basically made a deal with you that was, we're going to talk about your show a lot going into Hard to Kill. We'll even use it to forward stories. But in exchange, we need to talk about our stupid show incessantly for an obscene amount of time and take up airspace just to get to Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer. I hated this shit. I hated this segment. This segment was just awful. It did not need to exist. Busted Open Radio is actually entertaining. I will give them that. They are fun. They're good. This segment was not good.
I will say that this whole show, top to bottom, was more about furthering storylines. So I can understand where you're coming from. I feel like Hard to Kill was a nice bow on a lot of things. It ended a lot of things. And today was, if there was anything that was left unsaid, undone, this is where we're ending and this is where things are going. I didn't mind this so much because I don't listen to Busted Open Radio, but I had heard about who Dave LaGreca is, and it was nice seeing who he is in the flesh. However, nobody wants a Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer match in 2023. Why? Why? To quote Kenny King, why? I get it. Pour one up for the boys, I guess. But it's like, in this case, and I cannot believe I'm about to cap for Bully Ray on this show in 8K. Ladies and gentlemen, we got it. But I think Bully Ray could be used elsewhere. That first segment, like I said, he got under my skin, but it did what it needed to do. I don't. Come on, more wrestling podcasts, you know? I love that, but.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
You're right. Bully is useful. He's not useful in a match with Tommy Dreamer in 2023. I'm sorry. I respect Tommy. I think he works hard in this business. But having a match against Bully Ray, this ain't it.
I think there's a better use of Tommy Dreamer's talents as well. So even in the thing leading up to Josh Alexander versus Bully Ray, having Tommy Dreamer, even though we gave him shit, is a good buffer in between, you know, will he, won't he? And I think having these two guys go against each other again, I feel is counterintuitive to what they have to offer. If that makes more sense. I don't want to sound like I'm just dunking on the guy, but I think them two having a match is not maximizing their minutes.
Make it a tag match. Grab two guys who are newer in Impact, who are younger, are more agile, and who can lead them to a serviceable match.
Johnny Swinger, Joe Hendry, easy. And Zicky Dice to be special guest ref.
I don't hate it.
You got to go the most chaotic answer. When you begin to dislike something, just turn up the chaos and you're going to have a good match.
There has to be something better because this ain't it. But put Moose in there with Bully. I think that would be entertaining. That'd be wildly entertaining.
Moose in a triple threat match with Bully and Tommy Jeter. It's just gonna be elder abuse because Moose is not gonna care. He's just gonna beat up these two old men because Moose is a bully.
Put Macklin out there to beat up Bully. Let's do that. Line a hard time on their hands. They worked with the guy. There's got to be something better, but this segment wasn't it. And if it's leading to a one-on-one match with Bully and Tommy, I don't want this.
Joel is like, me no want that.
No. That's right. There are also there's the good hands, the Bully tag team. Oh my god, it's a six-person tag.
There's your chaos. This is my two favorite hands in Moose right now.
Bully Hotch and Skyler versus Dreamer, maybe Heath and Rhino. I still don't like that.
Delirious and
yeah, that feels awful. Gresham, don't put Gresham in there, please.
I can hear Gresham in my share voice. Who keeps booking me these chicken shit gigs?
Okay, I'm done. Move on.
You're gonna work yourself into a shoot, brother.
This is just not. Yeah, have Bully in the good hands. Go for the trios titles in AEW. Bully in the elites. Oh my god, let's go. Next week on Impact is the X Division Championship match between Trey Miguel and Action Mike Jackson, all 74 years old of him. Let's go. Ace of Base take on the major players. Death Dolls take on Giselle and Santino picks the tag partner. So who knows who that's going to be. That's going to be a really fun match for the Knockouts tag titles. And then the Golden Six Shooter match, the six-pack challenge between Moose, Edwards, Callahan, Swan, Rhino, and Sabin. That's going to be fun. But let's get into the main event. It's time for anyway, Speedball Mike Bailey and Kenny King in a pit fight, not a fight pit, because then we get sued.
It's a legally distinct hole where professional wrestling is commencing.
That's correct. Speedball and Kenny King have one hell of a match. I'm gonna nitpick for a second. This is a production thing. They turn the house lights down. Production quality also just seemed to have gone way down. It felt like they were trying to make this look gritty, which I get. But they weren't taking good production in their mind. They were just thinking like, let's make it gritty. And someone said, I don't know how that's supposed to look. And then someone made a decision that wasn't great. It was Bloodsport. The match was Bloodsport. We talked about this before. But Jake Barnett did Bloodsport, Matt Riddle did Bloodsport, and the movie Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I get that. There was something missing in the production quality. That's what it was. The black mat looked really good. I have to give them that. They used the black mat and looked more crisp. Again, gritty, but it needed just a little bit more light. This match was really good. This match is all about Speedball losing his shit, and he snapped at the end of it. Before we get there, is there anything you want to point out from this match? Because, I mean, Bailey's bleeding early, knocked his head into one of the lights on the floor, on the ramp. Mm-hmm. Just some really, really good stuff between Bailey and King. What do you want to say about this match before we get to the finish?
So in the beginning, and I had said this off air, that I thought the beginning of that match was very slow, and I was kind of like, I feel like there's a better way to use these two. I mean, yeah, it has to be a blow-off match. However, once Bailey's head hit that ramp, and then he does that charge from the ramp into the ring, it literally became from a wrestling match to like a Devil May Cry, Tekken, Bayonetta cinematic. You're spamming X to run down to the ring. He takes Kenny King out. He knocks him out the ring. And you can see him get increasingly more mad. And the more mad he becomes, it's kind of like, because I feel like we're used to seeing Speedball in this controlled very much. Everything I do has a meaning. And it got to a point where it was like, I've McFucking had it. And Kenny King was the perfect person for this, because for weeks Kenny King is just like, I'm not touching you. Ooh, I'm not touching you. Ooh, mommy said I can't hit you.
When he did touch him.
And so that, I mean, you spitting water at him, throwing popcorn, beating up his friends. I mean,
he cost him a match at Hard to Kill in the Countdown show.
Exactly. So I think that this match, after it kicked into that second gear, not to sound cheesy, total nonstop action though. Like it was really good. It was really good. I cannot complain, because like when he hit that man with the finisher, it really did give me Bloodsport to nah. Never want to see you again. Bye, Kenny. I popped. I laughed. I was like, kill him. Get him, Speedball. He's had it.
I agree with you, by the way. The first half of the match was kind of, it was slow. I had to kind of set the pace that this wasn't going to be a sprinted finish. And I like that. It needed to be a little bit plodding, a little bit slow. It needed to have that MMA feature to it. Because it did kind of incorporate more wrestling into it, despite things like the arm bar and, you know, Kenny King slamming Bayley down and then doing the figure four where they both roll out of the ring together, like the wrestling stuff. And then they do the kicks and all the kick spots. Then you have Bayley climbing to the top of a ropeless turnbuckle path.
That was dope, though.
Hitting a twisting splash. That was great. And then he goes for the ultimate weapon off the apron. It's stopped by Kenny King, who then hits a spinning kick of his own while he's in the ring. Referee checks, and of course he still goes. It was a good build to what would eventually be Speedball grabbing the chair that was introduced by King earlier in the match, basically using it on Kenny King, mounting him, punching him like crazy, hits the arm bar, wrenches back on it, does the double knees, the spinning double knees, more punches, puts the chair on King's lifeless head, not his body, but his head, just winds up and kicks the damn chair. And the referee calls for the stoppage. Speedball wins, and he's amped up. So Speedball snapped tonight. What do we do with him next? Is he going to try and get back to his zen, or have we unlocked a new Speedball variant?
I mean, I love a good variant. I also want to shout out, because while you were talking, I was looking at my notes, when Kenny King kicked Speedball out the air from doing the ultimate weapon, I was like, oh, that was so smooth. I could not believe it. And in that moment, I was like, Kenny King about to win this. Oh my God. Oh my God. But it's kind of like in this moment to compare wrestlers, it's like when Penta has the Joker mask, you know, the Penta variant, Joker variant is not messing around. This variant of Speedball was already brutal in that 60 minute Iron Man match with Josh Alexander, not a real life Iron Man, but it was 60 minutes. It was like an Iron Man match. If he could do that and he's calm, and this is what he's like when he's turned up, beat up Bully Ray. Beat up Moose. Beat up Moose. Like, give Moose the butt whooping he deserves. But if you want those things, like, yo, Speedball, like,
didn't know you had it in you.
Come on now. Yo, beat up Macklin. Get crazy. Let's get crazy.
Dobby the Brain Heenan with a super chat. Even though King lost the match, did he really lose in the end? Speedball showed the side that Kenny had been telling people about. That's a good point. I really think that now Kenny King, despite losing, can still be that shitty heel who's just like, told you so. And we had Speedball in our chat earlier tonight being like, sorry, I apologize. I went a little hard. And we said, you know, you get a pass because Kenny King was being a real shithead.
Yeah.
Speedball had to do what he had to do. If that's how you get out of it, I'm fine with it. But at the same time, I really do think we just unlocked a new Speedball variant where when he gets pissed, all bets are off. He's going to lose. Yeah.
I think Kenny King was the perfect heel in this situation to grind the gears. Because that's a good point, Dobby, that even though he lost, did he really lose? Because you still proved the point. The point was still proven that you're still a maniac. But I feel like that goes without saying that's any professional wrestler in this business. If you want to get technical, because even the coolest people, if you mess with their family or you mess with something they care about, will go ape. You know what I mean? So I think that this is nice. I think that going forward, whenever Speedball whips this out, people know he's not messing around. But I'm a little flabbergasted in a good way that you didn't have to pull it out for Josh Alexander for that match to be superb, but you let Kenny King have it. Does it slip out on someone that doesn't need to prove Kenny King's point further? Maybe. Or is this just something for special occasions? Because I liked it. I was sports entertained.
This is his super lager, for those who get it. You take off that mask on Jushin Thunder Lager, and he's this, it's Krillin. It calls himself Super Krillin, whatever the fuck he does.
I was going to make a Dragon Ball Z reference. I was going to say, is this like Super Saiyan God?
No, this is worse. This is like you pull off the you pull the dragon's beard too much and he comes at you with fire. Yeah, you tempted him too hard.
Yeah, I believe it. Because, like, again, look at what he did to Alexander when he wasn't pissed, even though he came up short. Did he? You know, so I think there might be a little bit more story there. If it ends this way, I'm okay with it. But that is a good point. Like, did Kenny King really lose, or did he prove his point?
It's a very good point indeed. Well, that was Impact Wrestling for Thursday, January 19th. All in all, it was a good show. Really just started resetting after Hard to Kill. We have one more week in Atlanta next week, and then we're going to shift over to Florida. Some friends are going to be at that show. I hope they enjoy their time there. Until then, Cresta, where can the people find you on the internet?
You can find me every Thursday here with Joel Pearl, where we interview. You can find me every Thursday here on What did you do to me? You gave me a stroke.
I pressed the wrong button. I meant to press this one.
We're going to get it there. Take three. You can find me here every Thursday on YouTube on Fightful with Joel Pearl, where we talk about everything that happens on Impact. Tomorrow, I will be doing a special edition of Gaming Gone Weird. Normally, I'm there on Thursdays on Know Your News, but tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. over on Know Your News. Mondays and Wednesdays, you can find me on twitch.tv/CrestaStar. You can find me on Twitter at CrestaTheStar. TikTok, Instagram is Cresta Star. Anywhere you can type Cresta Stars with two R's. And I leave you with a pirate pun. Joel, what is a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?
R.
You would think that, but it's actually the C. Joel, where can they find you?
I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. I'm now on the hunt for a new host of the Post Impact Wrestling Podcast. We'll be back next week. If you go over to my Twitter account, I just announced I'm starting a new podcast with our friend Ella J. I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully y'all can spread that love. I'd appreciate it very much. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
See you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.